Welcome to the Softly Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SCP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just reminder how to join us for a talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for Call ID 17702. And also, we co-broadcast on Twitch.tv. So go over there and go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. And you will find us there. I keep an eye on the chat. So I'm happy to answer any questions and discuss anything that comes up in either chat rooms. And just, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is also sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account. If you want to follow that, feel free. That's Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. And of course, just a reminder that I love being Catholic. I'm an insufferable O's fan. And, of course, also, I like tech. So, if any of those bother you, then don't follow me. But also, I have my tertiary account called Franz Games, which keeps you up to date on what's going on with SCP Online and also on Starfleet Warlord. Note, it's a very low volume traffic. So, if you just want to get updates, that's a great one to follow. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Of course, it's the first week of the month. So what does that mean? Shipways Minis, yes. So some quick ones that came out this month was also those the Hydrogen Police Carrier, the Zinti War Destroyer Leader, and the Federation New Heavy Scout. Moving onward to the SCP Online Tournament, we have, of course, the Sapphire Star Tournament 8 tournament. Well, we had it, and it's there. But for those of you who missed the signups this past weekend, sorry, it's closed. It all had enough signups, and everyone signed up within 4 days, and it was gone. All 16 spots were taken up. I'm willing to bet it's because it was this pent-up demand for it after being actually absent for a few months. But so sorry if you didn't already sign up for that and you missed out. But you know, if you want to, you can possibly sign up and hope for a spot to open up. If someone has to drop out, I kind of doubt it overall. But if you want to, you can do that. I would suggest not doing that. Just wait for the next one and keep an eye out on the discussion board. Also, I will send out email blast next time when it comes up, and please keep an eye out on your email. Obviously, for those people, the email blast only goes out to people who actually have an active SCP Online account. If you don't have an active SCP Online account, you will probably not get an email, or if you had a past email account, active account, then you still get the email. Until, if you want to, you can unsubscribe at any time. There's a link at the bottom of each email, so please use that and don't mark it as spam. Also, of course, the FedCom library has been coming along nicely with Chris Nunez, and also Sebastian's been also helping out lately. So we got all the way up to 401 squadron size ships, and the current fleet size ships is up to 279. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the Millennial All Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. Barry actually playing a nice game of, I think Lancaster is what he's in the middle of playing at this moment in time. He texted me a picture of it, and I went, awesome, man, if you can find someone to play your Lancaster, and I say go for it. You know, I'm fine by myself. I'm totally fine by myself. And why am I do not know this? This is weird. Maybe it's this one. Yeah, that's the, that side, isn't it? I'm sorry. Right now, everything looks quite dark on this side of my face, which is really weird for the situation. This may be just because of my monitor is so dark, because I got a dark background at the moment. But anyhow, we'll deal with the situation. But for this evening, for the all evening's entertainment, what I planned on doing, I had got this idea because I've been thinking about card games lately, especially because it's baseball season, and one of the things that came up is I bought Strat-O-Matic, which is actually an interesting. It's not really a card game. It's a baseball game where you basically, each card represents a player on a baseball team. And at least I got the baseball version of the game because they have like hockey, I think football, and I know they have basketball. So, in which case, you know, each player has that. And they have of course, for baseball, it's relatively easy. You got different positions, you got batting order, all that kind of thing. But one thing that they just did lately was they actually, I downloaded the app so that actually I can do matchups and lineups and actually play on my phone. Now, this is not the plan at the moment for this evening. That plan might go awry, in which case it is what it is. And that is that I just wanted to talk about the idea of what I call recycling Starfleet SFBF. More to the point, recycling the cards. Can we take the cards that has this game? Now, the game is perfectly fine. Just to let you know, this is what the cards were designed to play, the rules are. The rules are the basic overall rules. And, you know, there's idiosyncrasies in each of these. And of course, we have the basic rules and the advanced rules. There's some additional things that can be played, as I think I mentioned last week. But overall, the idea is that there's no die rolls at all. It's not like, hey, Dave, Andrew's your rule. You put up your ships. What the randomness comes from is the deck. And that in that deck, you've got the different, I call them action cards. And those action cards, you can do multiple things. And let me do this. And what you'll see here are these cards. You know, again, Serious Fire, PF Flotilla, Planet-Based Fighters. While these are some of the action cards. You know, Klingon Mutiny. You know, Tractor Beam, Reinforcements. Reinforcements actually is quite nice because draw one extra ship from the shipyard deck and add to your battle force. So you can easily that might be a little better. The idea being that you take these cards and then you play them down. Now, depending upon, okay, the idea is that you want to attack your opponent. But to do that, what you need is these cards. Plasma F, you know, also can fire by a Plasma R. It's a Plasma F torpedo. It does 5 points of damage. Now, given that does 5 points of damage, that's fine. The issue is that you have to have either a Plasma S or a Plasma R launcher on the ship that you want to fire from. So, depending upon what ship you actually have, you might or might not be able to actually fire, you know, use this action card. Now, that's fine. Hey, Iggy. Hey, Chris. That overall is fine. Here is always the issue that I know I've found, and I'm sure other people have seen the same situation. And that is that one of the things that can happen is that you have these cards that you can't use. You know, more to the point, you might have all these cards that you can't use. Like, say that you're down to, obviously, one of the things you can't do in Starfleet Battle Force, given this, is that you can't have a quote, fleet which is built up just of a single empire, like a Klingons or Federation and so forth, because of, like, the Klingons, they don't have any plasmas. So every single plasma card you would pick up would be totally and utterly useless to have. So you'd be throwing them things out. So your deck, the cards that you have would be really poor. So that makes it useless for those ones. And obviously, same thing can occur with if you have all Romulan fleet. You might not be able to, you know, quote unquote, fire a drone or a drone. You know, obviously, this represents more than a single drone. But my idea is it was supposed to represent a whole wave of drones and so forth. But anyway, the important thing is that, you know, it becomes useless. Now, obviously, this is even worse. A scatter pack. If you have a scatter pack and all you got is all you have is plasmas, you can't use it. It's totally useless, at least at that point. Now, the important thing in that case is that do you have any ships that actually have drones? So, as a weapon, because in theory you can have a whole Federation fleet, but if you have every single of your drone-based, you know, ships that have drones on them, you know, drone racks, are gone, you still can't. So, my question is, and the reason why I wanted to bring up the subject was that, you know, can we do something, maybe create a whole different game using the cards? Now, it's possible you can't, because obviously the issue comes being at the very beginning is that the cards are designed for a certain way of gameplay, and that's fine. Oh, I forgot to go through it completely. Okay, the idea is you draw from your deck, you put down your cards, and then, okay, let's say that you launch a drone and you have a scatter pack. Okay, so that basically doubles the damage for your drone. Now, your opponent can then go, okay. Whoops. Pardon me. They have a tractor beam. So they use a tractor beam. So it eliminates one drone card attack. So a tractor beam thus canceled your drones. But, you know, in theory, what you can actually have is multiple. You can have, I'm firing drone and also from the ship, I'm also firing like a disruptor, you know. So, and you have multiple weapons that you can fire from that ship against your opponent. And I'm firing on that ship. Now, always the difficult part about, you know, and then, you know, and then your opponent can defend themselves, you know, whether it's ECM or the tractor beam, as I showed you, Wild Weasel, things like that, that will cancel or reduce the amount of damage that is done to that ship. Again, these are action cards. After each turn, you know, after you use up your cards, you restock. Which, when you have more than one opponent, it can get really, really tough. Because you can use three, and that's not too bad. Four, in my mind, is maximum. You don't want to try to use more than four players at this game at the same time. Just because what happens is by the time the fourth person comes around, if everyone attacks one of the players, by the time it gets around to that player, if any defensive cards are gone. So after you have a bit of I was going to say attribution. That's not the one I want. Attrition of those cards. You know, there's not so much because you don't get new cards until your turn comes up. Now, I'd have to double check, but I could have sworn there was an optional rule that if you wanted to use, is that any to prevent the whole idea of ganging up on a person and then have that person completely and utterly defenseless, allow them to get more cards during the turn when you didn't actually, when your turn is not there, you didn't have a turn. You know, because otherwise, you can, as I said, the problem is that in a normal game, that it you can if you cut a lot of people gang up, then they're dead. That's the way the game is run, and that's fine. But the one thing that I wanted to investigate or remunerate around was the whole idea that just maybe. We can take these cards and we can create a new game out of it based on these wonderful, beautiful cards. Now, I'm not saying that the Starfleet Battle Force is it's an awful game and they shouldn't ship. Now, this was many, many, many years ago. And I do mean many years ago. Steve Cole had basically, they had tons of these card decks sitting in the warehouse that no one had bought. And realize this artwork, I don't have to remember. I know it's over 10 years ago. I think it's maybe 15 years old. And this, imagine, people, this is incredible. Think about it, this is just totally incredible. This kind of artwork 15 years ago. This artwork is gorgeous. Even this stuff is beautiful by today's standards. So, you know, to me, it would be a shame, a true shame, that if they have all these cards with gorgeous graphics, and there were, excuse me. I didn't get a nap today. Yes, I'm getting that old that I need naps. But anyhow, you know, I think it would be a total loss. You know, obviously you can play it with the original game, but is there something we can do to recycle it and create a new game that might be even more interesting? Maybe a little more modern. I hate to use the word modern, but even using the name modern, more of one of the kinds of games today playing. The first one that popped in my head, of course, is the deck building game, which to me is always an interesting idea, because of the whole idea is that you, through different mechanisms, you grow your deck, or you throw away stuff from your deck, and then you use those things in your deck for different actions or events or storing up or whatever. When it comes to, can we use that? Now, the tough part always about these cards is that they have more than two kinds of cards, but most of the cards are two kinds. You got your ship cards, you got your action cards. And unfortunately, the big issue with that is that they have different backings. So, you know, without flipping the card, you know whether it is a ship or an action. So given that, you can't really hide if you're picking up an action or a ship. Now, what with a deck building game, there's two ways of building a quote unquote deck. You could actually build it into your hand and then play it out. That's not really deck building. That's more of thinking, I'm not sure what the term for it. I'm thinking about like gin rummy, things like that. A standard card game, you know, where you have a deck and you pick up a card and then you lay it on another card or lay it on someplace else on the table. Now, if we go with deck building, the whole idea is to build up these cards so that when you have to shuffle them, you don't know what they are when you flip them over. That's why I say that having action cards and ship cards with a different backing is problematic. Now, given that minor thing, if we can still... The question is, can we build that into a game? That even though you know whether it's an action or a ship in the same deck, would that, can that be built in? And one thing actually I was just thinking about is possibly kind of interesting idea. And obviously, the big issue would be the rules around it. But one of the things that you could possibly do is take advantage of that by allowing people, have each person have a limited number of coins, you know, tokens, whatever. And then what you can do is either you can have two separate decks, or you can have a single deck, and then on that single deck, there's all kinds of different mechanisms. One thing I was thinking about is that on a single deck, to get a card, you actually have to purchase it. Now, I know it's a little different in a deck building game, because the idea usually is that you use the decks to play. And if you can't afford a new card for a deck, then you can't get new cards. You can't build up your deck. But a lot of those deck building games have a mechanism where you place in cards and then you trade them and you get a new card from a stack of the same kind of cards. Well, that cannot happen because there's not a large stack of different cards. There's a lot of different cards which have different values to them, basically. So one thing I was thinking of is that you would possibly, you know, you purchase them to get a new card, depending upon what card it is. Whether we could have a single separate, I was thinking about a single deck, which that's why this is kind of crazy. I'm not a game designer, so this might make no sense whatsoever. But to pick up the next card, you have to have enough coins. Now, an action card, it's worth one. A ship card is worth two. So that if you only have one coin, one token, whatever, one credit. Let's use credits. Okay. Let's stay with the Star Trek theme. If you can do is with, if you only have one credit and the top card is a ship, you can't take a card. But what you can also do is you can take cards that you have in your hand. You have a limited number in your hand, and you have the rest are in your deck. But a limited number in your hand, like a reserve, that you could then take that, you can trade that, you can throw that away, and you get more coins. In which case, then you can get more cards. Now, what I'm thinking about at the moment is that it'd be equal. If it's a ship card that costs two, if you throw away, you throw into the discard deck a ship card, that means you get two credits. And at that point, you can either get another ship card or you can get an action card. Now, the key here is how would you then, after you purchase these cards, you start with so many credits, how can you build up more credits? Because the only way to, in the current game that I'm describing so far, is that you actually would have to have a mechanism so that you can earn more credits so you can build a larger deck. And to me, the only way to do that would be you would actually have to fight it out with your opponent. And then given that fight, the question is, there's two possibilities. And I see either you can get, I'm thinking about just getting a certain number of credits. Like if you have a win, that's five credits. If you lose, maybe get one credit. So the idea is to encourage conflict, encourage battles. So the idea is that if you got an action card, which you have for your ships, and that action card is useless. When you pick it up, you have it in your deck, you have a certain size deck, let's say five cards, and you can have a number of ships or actions. You can make it up however you want to make it up. But your deck, it has actions and ships. And after you use your cards, then you put in your own discard pile for your deck, and then that'll be used up. Now after if you lost, you got one. But if you won, you got five. Or maybe not five, maybe three. The idea in my mind is to encourage combat to build up your deck. Now, obviously, the person who wins is the person who collects up all their opponent's cards. Obviously, what we can do also is we can actually have a separate, another kind of victory condition that can be set. But I'm thinking the easiest one is just, by defeating your opponent, get at the very least get all of his ship cards. That's how I win, about it. You collect all the ship cards. Now, I'm just thinking, with so many ship cards, then you actually could, if you won your battles, you can build up your deck to be larger and larger. Now, this is always the difficult part about that, is that when deck building games, the idea of a deck building game is that you try to basically stack the deck. You try to put in, you try to keep the best cards into that deck. Now, the hard part about, in this case, the way I'm thinking about the decks themselves, is that for each player, they're going to have a certain number of decks. Now, the question is, do you want more actions or more ships? But here's the issue. You have to balance those two things out, because what kinds of actions that you want to actually keep. Because to me, that makes more sense in that, okay, let's say that you pick up a plasma card and you don't have any plasma ships in your hand. So you go, I'm going to discard this one, and therefore, that one credit that you used to purchase that action card, now you can just put it back and you get an action card. I mean, you get one credit back, so nothing spent. If you just discard what you picked up, assuming that you had enough credits to begin with, you can then just discard it and get your credits back. Which is great, because then you can actually build up using the weapons cards that you need. Now, obviously, if you all you have is weapons cards and you only have a few ships, you might run into an issue, because that's one thing that if you are defeated, for me, if you were defeated, that ship card would then go back into the deck. So you don't want to lose. Now, the question is, should we have it so that if you win, does it also get put back into the deck? And honestly, I don't know at the moment. I definitely want the loss. If you lose, that it goes back into the deck. So there's that chance that you will not have a ship to fight. That's a good question. What would happen in the case where you want to fight your opponent, but your opponent has no ship to fight? Because it makes me want to require that you always have a ship in your deck, and that you are allowed to have two decks, which is your action deck and your ship deck. That's what I'm thinking. And maybe you're only allowed to have one ship card in your hand, and then you have four action cards. Or as many, if you have no more than four action cards, then you only have four, then you have three, or how many you have left in your deck, in your action deck. Which sounds, in my mind, sounds kind of interesting. The question is, how would that go? I'd have to play it out. Because I'm not a great game designer in that case. But I think the idea of, don't mind some of these, of having it so that the deck, okay, it's drawing out. Looking at this going, what the heck? I lost my... Where'd it go? Don't mind me. Pardon me. Oh, that's bad. Excuse me. I might have to... There it is. Not sure what happened now. Just wanted to look at this. That was kind of a cool one. But anyhow, sorry, for those listening to the podcast, I was just looking at the Tholian Dreadnought card, which is kind of interesting. It's a beautiful card. You know, all these cards are just of the highest quality. These are just stuff. This is some of the images that were grabbed. So, from the Vassal plugin. The only reason I have it is the idea was that, you know, I was going to create a card game for some Starfleet Battle Force, and want to see if I could do it. And in theory, I can. It takes a lot of time. And the question is always, oh yeah, Chris, yeah, the cards are beautiful. And that's, oh, this one. Look at this one. This one, I like this one, with the Romulan being hit by a phaser. That's cool. And then we've got this phaser, which is being fired by a Klingon vessel. And then this one, of course, which is from one of the Federation saucer. You know, that was, you know, this is why I like Starfleet Battle Force, because they had some beautiful artwork. But getting back to the idea of recycling these beautiful cards, that, to me, that would be kind of an interesting game. Obviously, some of the tough parts to work out is, how do you build up the deck? Do you have a single deck, or do you have multiple decks? I like the idea in my mind of credits that you need to purchase your cards. You get like 5 cards to start off with, you know, possibly 1 ship card and 4 action cards, and then so many credits. And at that point, then you can purchase, so you have enough credits so you can purchase new cards. And you can either put it in your deck or put it in your hand. And then if you put it in your hand, then at the end of your turn, you have to, you only can have 5 cards in hand. So if you put it into your hand, you have to take 1 card and put it in your deck at the minimum, or discard it, either one. And I'm just thinking one-on-one. I'm not thinking about multiple players, because that's one thing that would be interesting with, if you have multiple players, then the whole idea in my mind would be that, okay, if you have one player attacking another player, and you use up that player's action cards, or, you know, after the battle is done, you know, he spent some action cards. At that point, after the battle is done, you could then pick up action cards from your deck to refill your hand. Now, obviously, the only thing I was just thinking about is that if you only have the first 4 action cards and you have no deck, that in my mind, that means there's the possibility that if you let people do it, they would then use, you know, I don't have a deck, you know, so that, you know, you fight me, I used up all my 4 of my cards, and then or even just 1 or 2 of my action cards for my ship, and I don't have any deck, so I basically keep the hand I have. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing, because of the key here about the cards and your deck is that you want to improve it. Obviously, if you have like a Romulan Dreadnought, you happen to have picked up a Romulan Dreadnought, and you happen to pick up, you know, some plasma R's. Did I recall correctly? I don't see it off the top here. Oh, there's Plasma R there. You got Plasma R, 7 points of damage. And then you can also pick up, let's say, an Enveloper card, which would double that damage. So it's 14 points of damage. So you could make you almost unbeatable on each and every round. So that, the question at that point would be, do you allow them to keep their cards? Because then you have this overpowering, there's no way to beat that, your opponent. Because every single time he's gonna blow away your ship. Because if you do 14 points of damage, 14 points of damage against any ship is a dead ship. So, now that's one of those things, that's one of those gotchas in the mechanics, and so that was one thing I'd have to work out when it comes to the whole idea of transforming, or sorry, using the Starfleet Battle Force cards for our deck building game. I was thinking about another game which would be kind of a more closely to a solo game. The idea being is that you have a you shuffle up the ship cards, you pick up a deck, and then you have your action cards. And the idea is that you go through different scenarios against these monsters, whether those monsters are monsters, because I don't think there's any monster cards in here. There are monster cards that were added as playtest. I think they added like the Juggernaut. I don't know. I think they added some monster cards that were playtest material, which would be kind of cool. Because in that case, what you could do actually is make it a, like, I was thinking about a captain's game, but I'm not sure if that's a proper term for it, where the idea is that you pick up a ship, and then you randomly pick up your cards from the action deck. Now, at that point, you get so many rounds against the monster to defeat it. And if you don't defeat it in a certain number of rounds, you lose. And the question is, at that point, what happens? Do you just, your ship go bye-bye? Or does something else negative happen? And I can't think of how to take that one further. But, you know, I like the idea of a solo game. I forget if Starfleet Battle Force, if they have rules for a solo game. I think there is, but, you know, obviously you can play a solo game, and it's not that hard to do because of you can easily play the robot. Always the tough part about those is that you'd want to, as a robot player for that's fighting you in Starfleet Battle Force, is that you'd want to have the robot player randomly select one of the ships that it's going to fire upon. Because otherwise, the big issue, obvious, I'm sure you all see it, which is that if you don't pick it randomly, then you're going to probably pick the smallest ship and use the most powerful weapon. Basically make it so that it is a lopsided game, not that much of a challenge. Obviously, one of the things you can do about that is play like you're playing chess. Now, this is before computers, guys, that whole idea, which is you play both sides of the board. You play, and then you swap, and you say, okay, now I'm the player, and I'm going to do whatever I can to defeat you, given the situation I just put in. When it comes to playing against yourself, that's always, in my mind, is a tough thing, because the tough part is to separate yourself from yourself. Because there's always that little voice in the back of your head, those actions that you might take, the mistakes that you might make, which you might not do consciously, but you might do subconsciously because you want to win. Of course, the especially when it comes to chess, because the tough part about chess when it comes to playing yourself is that you're playing a symmetric game. That is, each force is equal. Unlike Starfleet battles, though, Lord knows there are many scenarios that have been that are not there are many that actually are symmetric, but symmetric usually doesn't make the most interesting scenarios. The more interesting scenarios are the asymmetric battles. The idea is not that you in your frigate you're going to destroy the B-10. That'd be interesting, but next to impossible. Actually, I'm pretty sure it is impossible. It's a B-10. All you have to do is keep your shields up and start firing. You wouldn't have to do much in a B-10. But in an asymmetric battle, it's an asymmetric scenario. The idea might be, in the case of the B-10. I know this is completely unreal. Let's stay with me here. That the B-10 in that scenario of a B-10 versus a frigate is that the B-10 is just there to stop you from getting past him. And so what all the B-10 is going to try to do, he's going to try to slow you down. And that what your object is to do is to leave the map without being destroyed. You're not there to engage him, though obviously any engagement with from a frigate to a B-10 is a delaying action. The idea is to slow him down to the point where you can get past him. So, that kind of warfare is asymmetric. That's why in chess, in my mind, it's always the most difficult thing to do, because it is symmetric just by the basis of it. Obviously, you can make it asymmetric. You can say, okay, well, you don't have your. You have no pawns, because pawns are a very critical part of the game of chess. But you can remove, say that your opponent doesn't have a queen, or it doesn't have its bishops, or doesn't have its knights, or doesn't have its rooks. But basically, the idea is putting a penalty on the one player to make it even, or make it more of a challenge, versus a symmetric, which Lord knows anyone who's ever played Starfleet battles and they have played a Civil War ain't easy. And that's always the one thing that people dread most of all in Starfleet battles is a Civil War, especially in tournaments, because it's one-on-one, So, I was going to come up with a question about, can you actually create a robot player for Starfleet Battle Force as it stands? Not one of these new games that I was just suggesting. And you probably could. I think, given that the number rules are so limited, are so small, the number rules is small, it would actually be relatively easy to create one. Now, everyone's talking about all AIs and machine learning and so forth. I've not heard it yet. I'm waiting for these words to leave someone's mouth or seem written on a page. Why don't you create an AI that can play Starfleet battles or can learn how to play Starfleet battles and win? I'm sorry. That is so hard, because here's the thing. In my mind, things like the Go player, the Go AI machine or ML, whatever you want to call it, that learn how to beat, you know, play against another AI. The key thing in my mind is two things. One, the AI needs to know the rules of the game. Because the rules of the game, by definition, defines how you can play the game. Yeah, I agree, Chris. I think you need a simple computer. And number two, you need to know a way to evaluate the result. You know, in theory, you know, when it comes to Starfleet battles, the result, when it comes to duel, what's considered a symmetric duel, the obvious answer to the question is, who blows up first? Don't know. That, you know, that's one way to define victory. But is that the only way you want to define it? And I'm not talking about using an old algorithm. It was called the min-max learning algorithm. And that is, the idea is that given positions of the pieces on the board, you can come up with a number. Bing! And that defines how good your position is versus your opponent. And the idea with the min-max is that you want to create a network of moves that you look to see, okay, what is, if I do this one move, what are the possibilities that my opponent can do? Evaluate all those possibilities, and then after that, the opponent moves, and the, you know, given the then goes, looks at the positions, you know, the moves made, then actually comes up with a number. Okay, is this board better or worse? You know, based on all, you know, based on the pieces, their location and so forth, you know, and based on location and obviously the position to others and so forth. So you have to evaluate up to a single number. And this is, if I move this piece, am I in a better or worse position? And given the min-max theory, you know, you then would say, yeah, that's good or not. And the idea being that you give all the you run through all the possibilities that can happen. You maximize your position first, and then down the tree, you take all, okay, what's all the positions left to the opponent, to your opponent, which will for me, for, you know, will minimize damage for me but maximize his. So that you are trying, you're desperate to maximize yours versus minimize his. So then you go on to the next move that you make. You know, you can go down the tree and, okay, you move after his move, or you can move off to, okay, what's other moves I can make, and then find out, okay, what's the worst numbers that I can get to. You know, so I just, the min and max. You have, so your next move is the best for you and worst for your opponent. You know, and is this one where you, in the overall, can you win? You know, so it makes it, it's an old algorithm. I mean, old. Let's put it this way. They were talking about it when I was in college, which at this point is somewhere around, let me think about this, because it's 2020. I was in college. I graduated from college in 1989. So that's 32 years. Gotta get the numbers right. So it's been 32 years since I graduated from college, and they were talking about it in my, probably my, it was my sophomore year. They were talking about it, And this it's not like this was the latest and greatest algorithm that, oh, it's going to be awesome. It was the algorithm that was used to play games at the time. So at that time, you know, that was, so I was 1985 was my sophomore year. So 85, 86. So let's say 85, just for giggles. So that's 15 plus 21 is 36 years. So it's 36 years old, minimum. It's probably even older than that. But this is what, you know, initially how you created a game. You know, from the oldest chess games to algorithms that could, yeah. Yeah, Chris, that doesn't surprise me. They still teach min-max because it's a real basic algorithm and it works, you know. It doesn't require you to have, a teaching algorithm, because Lord knows, from AI and machine learning, you actually have to run that simulation multiple times, many, many times, to come up with a solution. And actually, what I think, you're not coming up with a solution. What you're coming up with is you're trying to create an AI that can play a game very well. Ah, jeez, guys. Dang it. Sorry, guys. I'm just looking at Iggy and Chris, and they're both talking about, okay, yeah, they still teach min-max algorithms. And Iggy is saying, oh, yeah, you know, with alpha beta pruning, it's like, oh, man. Do we have a bunch of computer geeks in the chat room? Is that the problem? Is that who I'm dealing with, guys? Really? Wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, you know, so that's one of the things that's never going to happen. I forget if it was Jonathan or Chris. I think it might have been Chris who sent me the robot player rules. And I need to go through them again. I know it was pretty much exactly what the robot player for the cadet training manual had in it. But I think there might have been some slight changes to it. So given that, I still would like to do a robot player, because I know there's lots of people out there that would like to play the game, or at least like to learn to play the game. Because in my mind, it's like the whole idea of what I want to do with Starfleet Warlord. I want Starfleet Warlord the ability to play by yourself. Here's the reason why. I want you to have the ability to play by yourself so that what you can do is you can learn about the game and learn how to play before you go what I call into the big arena. The big arena actually is you're facing players. Now, facing players is all what Starfleet Warlord is about. It's not about playing against yourself. Because you can actually have it so that, I think many, many moons ago at this point, I brought up in this podcast, and that is the whole idea of saying, okay, did you succeed or not? What number of points you get? And the whole idea was that you actually could go and play the game, get a score, and then maybe the top two scores get some credits towards playing Starfleet Warlord and things like that. Basically, the idea being that one, it helps people learn the game, and two, keeps people busy and playing the game when there's not a new game started yet, when they've actually been not kicked out of it. They've lost. The corporation has been defeated. So they have to wait for the next game to start. While they're waiting, you could have it as an automated tool so they actually can continue to play, keep them interested, and so forth. So that's what I like to do. And then And that's why, you know, I like to add on to, you know, the robot player into the SAP Online client, which will be interesting. Actually, and I noted many months ago, which I really would like to make a web-based version, which I think would be great. Also, the whole idea of, instead of just doing a purely web-based, if I could do it in Unity and then deploy it on the web, I think that'd be fantastic. I'm not sure how easy that would be, comparatively speaking. Obviously, one of the benefits of Unity is that it is done in C#. Why is that an actual benefit? Because a lot of the client is written in Java. And C# and Java are really close together. Now, the biggest issue when it comes to Java versus C# is, of course, the APIs. For, you know, yeah, the code, for the most part, will be the same. But the interaction with the APIs is going to change. Drawing on the screen, moving pieces on the board, that's all going to be completely different. And obviously, the biggest issue with Unity versus the current Java code, the Java code currently assumes that you got nothing. While Unity is, as I explained to my daughter, the big issue with Unity is that it's an engine which you, and the C# is actually, you connect into the engine at certain points in time. So that if you do an action on the board, that calls into your code. Now, a lot of Java does the same thing. They're called listeners. But the interaction is done a totally different way. When it comes to how the game engine interacts with the objects, because what you're doing is you are writing code for the objects themselves, not writing code for the game board. At least that's the way I see it. So it gets interesting. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. We got a wonderful quick discussion about an interesting idea for a deck building game using recycled parts of Starfleet Battle Force. Then, of course, I went on a rant talking about, sorry about that, the people in the video, just because that drives me crazy. Right now, it's still out of focus. This is awful. But anyhow, so, and you know, talk about, you know, Starfleet Warlord and whole idea of robot players and learning. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.